This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U-Mobile.
So in conjunction with World Teachers Day, today's Breakfast Grill will be focusing on education. And our guest this morning is Dato' Frida Pilis, founder of Cempaka Schools, established in 1983 and now has two campuses in the Klang Valley. Good morning, Dato', and welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. It's really, really wonderful to be here and to talk about education because that's my life, my passion.
Certainly looking forward to this chat here. Now, folks, if you have any questions about the private school systems in Malaysia or about Cempaka Schools specifically, feel free to WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, Dato', bring us back to 1983, right, when you established Cempaka Schools. What was the motivation for starting up the school back then?
Well, you know, actually I was in the PTD service, in government service for 13 years. And then I started a school for my own sons, actually. So it was not really like a business. So I was sort of accidentally I became a business. It became a business and I became what you would call now an edupreneur, you know. So it was actually a mother's wish to give the best education to her children.
Was that because the public schools, even from back then, 1983, was found wanting, they were not able to meet the educational needs of your sons? That's what compelled you that you had to start up a school for your own sons and now about 1,500 students?
Yes, I think to a certain extent. But I suppose as a mother, you know, you think that you are the best teacher of your children. And we have grown since then, 35 years already now, and it has evolved into something bigger than when it started, in the sense that now schools should be beyond borders, beyond walls, you know, with technology and so on. And it is a very exciting kind of work, vocation, I would say.
So do you think the demand for private schools like Cempaka, I mean, judging by what we're seeing out there, that demand has certainly grown, right? And can we safely infer that public school systems in Malaysia, they have just deteriorated over the last 3.5 decades?
To a certain extent, because you see, there are new demands. As the population, as people become more educated themselves, so they want something better for their children. So private schools now, so far, I think it has grown quite a lot. And now parents are given a choice. A long time ago, when I first started, actually, I started a national private school using the national curriculum. And even then, it was really good. Even now, we still have a national school. And now we also have an international school. Those days, Malaysians are not allowed to go to international schools. But now it's open to everybody. So I think what is good in Malaysia when we talk about education is you have a choice. You have to have a choice to send your children to any type of school that you like. And I also understand some parents even have their own children homeschooled, you know. So I think parents should take a keen interest on the children's education, in the sense that they need to choose. Please do not just go to the school next to your house. You know, like if you want to eat something fantastic, say you want to have a piece of steak or a meal, you'd go anywhere for the best meal, isn't it? For the best steak. But why not education? But a lot of people just think of, oh, I'll just send my child to the school next to the house. It might not be the best for your child, because different children have different personalities and different schools are, you know, they give different things to the children. So you need to actually study what type of schools around and that you should send your children to.
But Dato', that also assumes that these parents can afford the best, and I'm using air quotes there, you know, schools that are available in Malaysia, right? Certainly with your fees over there, up to 54,000 ringgit per year for the Form 4, Form 5 students, or rather the Year 10, Year 11 students there, you know, that may be out of reach for most Malaysian families. But we'll get more into the business model after the break. But I just want to stay on the broad themes here. So I want to get your thoughts on this. Back in July of this year, you had the education ministry, right, saying it's considering how they might partner with private schools, possibly such as yourselves, to improve English proficiency in public schools. So again, that's according to the Deputy Education Minister, Teo Nyi Ching. So have you heard anything from the government yet on this front?
Well, I've not heard from them. Like, you know, they've not knocked on our doors.
But is this, is this a viable option, you
or
think?
Or open a tender for it or anything like that, you know? Mm. Yes, we could share, you know, experiences. And in Cempaka, actually, we do have solutions. Because when we started school in Cheras, children in Cheras are different from the children in Damansara. So you have to look at your location. You have to look at the your market, actually, you know. So the children in Cheras, they are good in mathematics, really good in mathematics. English, not so good. Maybe majority of the children do not come from English-speaking homes. Mm. Primary school, they went to a Chinese school and so on and so forth. So then you have to look at your problems, your own problems, and then try to solve that problem. So maybe you increase the number of periods for English. The selection of books, the method in which you teach English, you know. Like now we have an online, we have started a new business actually, Campus Asia, where we have an online service for English, you know. So I think it's good for the government and the private sector to work together because we solve our problems differently. And Cempaka, we have been quite successful in that sense.
No, certainly. But when it comes to, say, the sharing of resources, could this risk dilution for your existing clients there, right? Because if public schools are using your resources, be it the teachers themselves or that online resource that you spoke about, again, doesn't that risk diluting the education quality at Cempaka? You know, because there's scarcity, right? Teachers have limited time and effort. And then on top of that, to help the public school system achieve their goals as well. How do you make that message palatable to your clients?
Well, the thing is this, we, like I mentioned just now, we have another alternative where we have our services online. So it's not like taking my teachers out of the classroom. They are everywhere. You know, they can just click in and register with our Campus Asia, and then they can get what we have, you know. Because I think we need to share. Mm. We need to share. This is part of nation building. Yes.
Sharing is caring, as the adage says. Also want to get your thoughts on this. Look, recently the education minister pledged to introduce more kindness into the school system. How would you go about introducing kindness in a formal education setting?
No, I think kindness is not just in education. Your first teacher, who's your first teacher?
Oh, I can't remember from my kindergarten days. I just know she would give out free kisses to the class. Well, I just remember her name. Sorry.
Actually, your first teacher must be and should be your mother.
Ah, right.
Isn't it?
That was a trick question, wasn't it, Dato?
So you see, I mean, there's stakeholders here, the government and schools, private and government schools, and parents. Mm. So when you're talking about, you know, trying to inculcate kindness, humility, empathy, it starts from home, you know. And teachers also, they also start from home. So when you have an environment where there's keen sense of humility and empathy, kindness will just be there. Kindness and love and, you know, compassion for one another, you know. And it flows.
Right.
That's what it is. And you need to make it a habit, so to say, to sort of, you know, inculcate this in everybody to say that, you know, you have to care for other people. You have to be considerate to other people. Yes.
Right. Perhaps not one that can be transmitted via traditional pedagogical methods, but
no.
It's the broader ecosystem, right?
It is
society.
Like, yes. And to practice it, you know, to make other people feel happy. Just simple things like in the morning, you know. Maybe teachers expect the children to say good morning, but why can't the children? And I say, good morning, how are you today? And so on and so forth, you know. So that makes the environment kinder, makes the environment more beautiful. And there's love and compassion.
All right, before we go to break, one more topic here. Now, this is happening over in Singapore. So their Ministry of Education recently announced they are going to phase out exams. So rather place less emphasis on academic results. Do you think Malaysia is ready for such a move? Is Cempaka schools heading in that direction?
You know, this thing, this idea of should we have exams? Should we not have exams? It's been bouncing everywhere. But personally, I feel that there should be some kind of assessment. Maybe the way we have assessed children before is not quite in tune with what the environment needs now, what children are like now, you know. But there must be some kind of assessment. There must be some kind of benchmark. So please, I think we should not be mistaken, you know, to think that, oh, we don't want any more exams and therefore that there's no more measurement of your benchmark. But I think there must be, but the way we do it must change. It cannot be like, you know, you want to teach moral education and therefore then you give them a paper test. And then you say, oh, well, if you get an A, then you are morally good. Not really. Or give them an ugama test and you become, you know, good in that sense, you know. But I think, why not? When you want to assess children moral education or religious studies, why don't you make them do work, community work? Go out and clock in, say, 10 hours like our children do. You know, they have, they go out and do community service, not only in Malaysia, but they go overseas as well and help. So therefore, then when it's done in practice, you know, then you learn what you have learned, the values that you have learned in moral education. It cannot be a test on paper. So when you go out, they do it, they see it, they feel it, well, then you get all the good values of what moral education and religious studies should impart to you.
We're speaking to Dato' Frida Pilas, founder of Cempaka Schools. Thank you all for your questions and comments. They're coming in via WhatsApp and Twitter, and we'll address them after the break. This is The Breakfast Grill right here on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio live is Dato' Frida Pilas, founder of Cempaka Schools. Dato', let's go ahead and dive into some comments that we're getting from listeners or perhaps even your existing stakeholders here. We've got a question from an anonymous here, you know, saying that, look, in his or her experience, Cempaka friends, kids are not outstanding. What is Cempaka's selling point, really? And if I may just broaden that question out, you know, because we have seen plenty of private schools coming up here, not just in the Klang Valley, but across Malaysia. How is Cempaka different?
May I ask you again, what did you say? Outstanding?
Well, yeah, so apparently, according to this person, kids, Cempaka, not outstanding.
Not outstanding?
So, I think your rebuttal there, Dato'.
I think the person who questioned me should be more specific. What do you mean by not outstanding? You know, it's not fair. It's a one-way question saying that our kids are not outstanding. But I think that our kids are really outstanding in the sense that, you know, we have been here for 35 years and we have evolved and we have done great things. And I've got alumni all over the world and they have done so many things in many, many fields. When we first started, actually, we were very market-driven. But then later on, we are product-driven. So we see what is needed, you know. So what do you mean by outstanding? What, a Nobel Prize winner? Or what? What is it? I mean, it's not fair because it's not specific. But I feel that what do you want in a child? You want, of course, the child to be knowledgeable, child to have grit and tenacity to go through whatever he has to go through, like, for instance, exams, you know. We have done one of the best IGCSE exam results, and our national schools results is really, really good all the time. And the government actually gives stars to schools, and we have been a 5-star school for many years, you know. So if you say, what's the difference between our school and schools out there? One thing, we are very great. We are big in technology. We are a one-to-one school. we are an Apple distinguished school using technology, and all our kids we have laptops, you know, in school, and people say that, oh, it's, you know, that's not good, you know. But I think we have to embrace technology. Mm. What is very important, I think, in education, you need children to come to school, not really to study, but to learn. And we need children to become independent learners. And Cempakans, I can very well say, they're independent learners. You give them something and they are very curious. They go out there and they do research. And that's what technology gives you. So we understand and we believe that education goes beyond borders, beyond the four walls. And it's great, you know. So yeah. I think our kids are outstanding. And I must mention one of our head boys is actually an MP now, Lembah That's Pantai, right. You mm-hmm. see. So I think we are outstanding.
All right. Let me add some nuance to some of the things you said there. So, for example, I understand the need to embrace technology, right, given that education has evolved so much. But for your school in particular, it's not just any laptop. It's a MacBook. Your students in secondary school are required to have a MacBook. And again, your fees go up to 54,000 ringgit per year. That's at the highest level. How do you ensure that Cempaka Schools doesn't become this elitist bubble where it's just kids from well-to-do families? How do you make sure Cempaka School students are well integrated into the various segments of Malaysian society?
Well, a little correction there. Now the children can bring any laptop to school.
Oh, because I got that from your 2017 or 2018 fees.
Yes,
paper,
I mean, when you talk about laptops, you know, I mean, of course, Apple laptops has less problems, so we encourage that, and we do get a
but also a whole lot more expensive.
Yes, but, you know, education is expensive. Good education, good quality education is expensive. But I would say that we give quality value for your money. That's what we do. Value for your money. And I think you cannot run away from technology. Now, technology gives you the freedom, actually, to delve more into whatever you're learning, you know, gives you the freedom actually to learn more, sure, to become an independent learner. Now, we do give scholarships to outstanding students. In fact, students who come to our school, and as they grow into our school, you know, and when they do very well, we actually convert their fees to scholarships. You know, and then we do get occasionally, we do in the past, the government do send a few scholars to do the A-levels or to do the IB in our school. But the school itself, we do give scholarships.
All right. Also, something else that you mentioned, that the shift in strategy for Cempaka Schools, you're no longer growth-centric, but product-centric. What does that mean? Because, again, we are seeing, you know, you've been around for 35 years.
May I make a slight correction
there? Sure.
Market-centric.
Okay, all right.
And
so
now we are product-centric.
Got it. So what does this mean for your growth plans then? Because we are seeing plenty of private schools now growing up in recent years, and they're growing at a much faster pace as well. You've got 1,500 students after 35 years. They're achieving that in less than a couple of years. So what does it mean for the growth plans? Or does Cempaka School have growth plans?
You mean in terms of enrollment?
Enrollment, expansion to new campuses?
Yes. No, like I said, our new business now is online. You know, we are doing Asia, Campus Asia, where then more people can get whatever a Cempaka education is like without coming to school, you know. And even if you're in school, you want to get online with us, you can do that, you know. And then we have an amazing online system, learning management system called Schoology, that is also a technology from New York, of which we are also, we do have a stake in that company. And there are about 20 over million children, 20 million users all over the world. So there's a lot of sharing. So even in Malaysia, children can actually register for this through subscription. And there's a lot of content, a lot of interaction. Now, we say we are now product-driven because parents are too busy now to think of what's best for their children. Mm. They have a rough idea, you know, but what's best? So they need a specialist. They need an edupreneur who can balance between what is education and business and how. Because you see, we need to find money for our business. Mm. We need to run the school to have it sustainable. But how do you do it? It's just like any other service industry, hotel, medical service, and hospitality. Well, you cannot have high impact, low cost. And education especially, you know, good education is expensive. All over the world, good education is expensive.
Well,
so when we run a school, we have to balance between giving the best in terms of education and how your money works for it, you know. We have to have this balance, because if you think that, oh, you want more students by just giving them something, you know, not so good, then you wouldn't get this.
Right.
Because you need the value, you need the quality.
Well, that's why we've got some listeners who are commenting while taking offense to the idea that, well, good education should be expensive. You know, some say that it should be affordable or free. But coming back to the idea of money and revenue for Chempaka schools, I note that for your 2019 school fees, and this is for your national schools, you're actually able to bring your prices down, I believe. Previously, the highest was 25,000 ringgit per year. Starting next year, it's going to be below 22,000 ringgit. Am I reading that fee structure correctly? So I guess the question is, how are you able to pull this off, this reduction in school fees, given the broader trend whereby we are hearing some private schools even hiking their fees by double digits on year? So
no, well, there is a big difference between the national school
Correct. And
the international school, you know. Well, I think in all businesses, you can bring down your costs by being, you know, looking at certain things that you have to cut down. You know, maybe the way you maintain your campus, you know, you have to cut that down. Maybe you have to look at how much money. You see, when you look at your balance sheet, you have to see, okay, where can you cut? You cannot cut in education. You cannot cut training of teachers, getting the best teachers. You have to train them. You have to select them and so on and so forth. But maybe you can cut down on using paper. You know, using paper, because paperless, because, you know, you look at it, you spend so much money on paper, you don't need that anymore, you know. Then you may need to look at how you run the campus, in the sense that make sure that lights are switched off, aircon is switched off, and so on and so forth. So there is a difference between international school and national school, because international school, of course, you have to recruit expatriates, and they come from all over the world. And, you know, there are costs there, you know.
Right. We're running out of time here, but, you know, this is in contrary to what a listener just, according to his or her observations, Chempaka School has been laying off teachers and staff since last year. So when you say cutting costs, can you confirm or deny this? Have you been laying off teachers and staff?
No, the thing is this. Every year, we look at our teachers and we look at performance. Like I said, I'm on the fast train. You're not good enough, please get off at the next station. So when you talk about, you know, teachers leaving, or we tell them, okay, I think you're not performing, our attrition period number is only about 5 to 8%. So that, I think, is a very good measure of any business, because, you know, 5 to 8% is nothing. And I think especially in education, in Chempaka, we are very, very, very particular about performance. If you're not good enough, I'm sorry.
So quite the message there on this World Teachers Day. If you're not fast enough, get off the train. That's a message from Dato' Frida Pillars. Thank you so much, Dato', for your time and your insights. She's the founder of Chempaka Schools. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Breakfast Grill right here on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.